90.5 WKAR, its current state. Thanks for joining us. I'm Mark Bayshore here at Studio S in the Comm Arts building at Michigan State University. Every year we're apt to buy the new updated versions of phones or computers and all kinds of other electronic gadgetry. So what happens with all the unwanted and obsolete items that we replace? Well, it becomes e-waste. And we welcome to the program Jim Grandholm. Jim is the founder of Green Earth Electronics Recycling. Jim, welcome to Current State.
Thank you.
How much environmental threat does all this e-waste pose, or are companies like yours doing a pretty good job of recycling it all?
Well, we're making a small dent in a big problem that's a growing problem. I was just even looking prior to talking with you, but back in 2008-2009, a report on CBS News from the U.S. government, Natural Resources Defense Council, said that e-waste is the fastest growing component of municipal waste worldwide right now. And back in 2009, the statistics said that we were throwing away in the United States 130,000 computers a day. Those were going into the landfills. And about 100 million cell phones were thrown away annually. So it's a big issue that's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And we're making a dent, and others are making a dent as well. But what's great is even programs like this where you raise awareness, because what we're trying to do is keep things out of the landfills.
How are you making your dent then, exactly? What are you? You're recycling these items, is that it?
Well, we're doing several different things. Actually, as most know anything about recycling, the best way to recycle is to find a way to reuse. So the first thing that we're doing is trying to capture any type of equipment that it may be obsolete, but perhaps it's something that could be upgraded or add new parts to and put it back in the marketplace. I was speaking to somebody just, I think it was yesterday, a 20-year-old, and I asked him if they knew what a typewriter was. And funny enough, they heard of it, but they weren't really sure exactly what it was. Well, as I went on with the conversation, I said, "Well, what do you use for putting together documents?" "Well, yeah, I use a laptop." I said, "Well, do you know what a desktop computer is?" "Yes, but that's ridiculous. They don't have one of those."
Wow.
And that's why it's the fastest growing component of municipal waste, is because literally I don't know what kind of cell phone you use, but I'm guessing you use a cell phone. Years ago, nobody used a cell phone. They had pagers. Then before that, they didn't have anything. But the big craze was the iPhones. Well, when the iPhone 4 came out, you'd see all over the news that the lines all over the place, people waiting in line for the iPhone 4. Offer an iPhone 4 to somebody and they laugh at you. "Well, I don't want an iPhone 4. And we're collecting iPhone 4s that people are wanting to dispose of because they don't want the iPhone. It works fine.
Yeah.
It still works.
Yeah.
But they want the next best thing. And that's why we have such an issue with it. Technology is changing so fast, and we get a lot of good equipment. So we're trying to find ways to use things. We collect so many computers that we can refurbish and redo something with. A desktop computer that literally now people that could never afford a computer. I mean, do you remember 5-8 years ago to buy a desktop computer was $1,000?
Mm-hmm.
And that's with a big giant CRT monitor. Well, now, people couldn't afford that. So now what's happening is if we can do things right and continue education in that, people that never had a computer can at least now have a computer. It's not going to be the iPad. It's not going to be the top-of-the-line laptop, but they can get a desktop now computer and now get on the internet and do things they need to do. And, it's good for students. So, it's really a lot of education.
What can consumers do who are concerned about this problem? How can they alter their behaviors to improve this situation?
Well, it's interesting because we do a lot of electronics recycling events, mostly in the mid to southwestern Michigan area. And, basically people are afraid of it. I mean, we'll do recycling events and people will sit in their cars and they're afraid to get out. They're afraid to give us their things because they just know, they don't know what they don't know. And so they're like, well, I hear there's, I shouldn't be giving this away because it's got information on it. And I go, well, you know, you're not storing information on your typewriter. But your computer, yes, it does have information. So literally, you don't want to just recycle it. You want to make sure that it's, there is, it's why there's a fear, and it's why there's kind of a lot of people hold back things, is they just don't know what to do, and they're fearful of where does the confidential information rest, and how do I get that so that I'm protected? And that's exactly one of the services that we provide, is we try to do everything we can to help put people at ease. I mean, we pick up a computer from somebody, we wipe the computers, the hard drives with a Department of Defense level wiping. We pick up and do a lot of businesses. We do banks and medical centers. Well, we'll take the hard drives and shred the hard drives so that there is no way anything could ever possibly be recaptured from that.
Okay.
So it's really trying to do everything we can to help facilitate and educate people, too. Because if they know that, hey, there's a comfortable place, this is a professional company or organization that's collecting this stuff and it's being processed, then people are just, they get emotional at some of these recycling events.
Wow. We're talking with Jim Grandholm, who is the founder of Green Earth Electronics Recycling. My family's taken old computers and printers to a recycling event sponsored by our township. What typically happens to all that stuff?
Well, that's one of two things generally. One is the computer something that has any ability to be refurbished and used again? Like I said, maybe it's a low-end computer, but you can put a bigger hard drive in it, more RAM, and literally now provide it to somebody that can't afford a computer, and that $1,000 computer might, you know, somebody would be happy to pay $50 or $100 for it to just have a computer. But what we see is a lot of that is so ancient that what we do is we do the demanufacturing. We do have a huge demanufacturing process. So what we'll do is you bring in a computer, for example, we will take it and start taking it apart. And if there's any components within it that can be reused, if the whole computer can't be reused, then we'll see if there's any components within the computer or any of the other electronics that can be reused. And then the rest is parted out and separated in the type of component in which it needs to be recycled. So that's where literally a computer, it depends on who you speak to, but a whole computer going into the landfill, many consider hazardous waste. It'll sit there. There's no way that thing's ever going to biodegrade into the soil. But if you take the components out and then they get cycled, they can be recycled and made into new computers, and thus keeping as well a large volume out of the landfills.
What's at the top of your list of electronic junk that concerns you the most? What is cluttering up landfills the most?
Well, I'll tell you the thing that concerns me, the biggest issue we have in electronics recycling right now is still what are the TV, the old CRT tube TVs, and a CRT monitor.
Really?
Which is not the flat panel monitor, they're the round, heavier ones. They weigh 20, 30, 40 pounds. But those actually have a lead that's in the glass. So those are considered hazardous waste if you open them up. As a component themselves, they're all right. But we don't want them in the landfills. We want them to be taken to a place where they are demanufactured, the lead is extracted, and again, the glass can be remade into something else. But if you take TVs and CRTs and start throwing them into landfills, I mean, you just got a mess on your hands.
Yeah, yeah. I ran into a guy on vacation years ago who was kind of a 21st century gold prospector, I guess. And this guy insisted that there is enough, acquired discarded television sets and claimed that there was gold. there were some tiny bits of gold in these television sets to the point where it made it profitable for him to actually acquire these things, tear them apart, and get at that gold. Is anything like that happening in this industry?
Well, that's what's really interesting is TVs, I'm not aware of having any gold. What they have, the commodity value that they have in them is copper. you have a cord that's got a little piece of copper in it. And on the back of a tube TV is what's called a copper yoke. Now, you get enough of those, and you know, you can make, a quantity of those. The copper is expensive, not necessarily gold. Now, we get this all the time. Their computers are made with, there's precious metals in them. There's gold, there's silver, there's palladium, there's different things that have value. And the older computers, and which is why they were so expensive, had much more of it. Now, why is it that a computer that used to be $1,000 is down to $200? Well, it isn't because they've refined the process so much that there's less and less of those precious metals in them. But that's where, you know, interesting enough, sadly, what we see is people going out and saying, oh, yeah, we recycle TVs and CRTs, and literally they will cut the cord off the TV, take a hammer, bust the thing in the back, get the copper yoke out, and go throw it in somebody's dumpster.
Well, so Jim, make a quick recommendation or two that might be overlooked by a lot of people as far as addressing e-waste and what they might be able to do.
Well, the first thing I would do is, like in the state of Michigan, is you can contact your county. Your county, somebody at your county, in almost every county that I'm aware of in Michigan now, has somebody that's overseeing the waste stream. And specifically, you can go we encourage recycling of everything, but paints, medications, everything, tires. But you contact your county and say, listen, where can I go or what do I do? A lot of the counties will say, listen, I live in Berrien County up here in southwestern Michigan, and Berrien County hosts several different recycling events where they will bring in people to handle all those things. So Lake Michigan College up here a couple months back had a huge recycling event of which we handled the electronics. So they had people there to take books, they took glasses, they took glass, they took styrofoam, they took paints and hazardous liquids. They took all those medications, and it was great. The line never ended. I've never seen anything like it. But people love the idea of disposing of things properly. So I would say contact your county and find out who it is or what options you have to recycle and make sure that you recycle it properly.
Yeah. Jim Grandholm is the founder of the Michigan-based Green Earth Electronics Recycling. Fascinating stuff, Jim. Thank you.
Thank you.
This environmental segment is supported by Michigan State University's Knight Center for Environmental Journalism. More news on the Great Lakes environment is available at greatlakesecho.org.